section where he says, it's only natural after so many incarnations of seeking that a person would want to, once they finally find themselves firmly established on the path, that you would want to just take that reality and keep it for yourself. And that's what most people do. At the same time, even however solitary one's commitment, the very nature of spiritual progress is that your sense of who you are becomes so involved in the reality of everyone that the wonderful phrase, kinship with all life, really begins to grow in our hearts. The prayer of the Ananda Sangha, may the divine light awaken and purify my heart and bring enlightenment to all beings. It's known mostly the Buddhists talk like that more, but everybody's talking the same truth. So even though there is this solitariness to the spiritual path, there's also this tremendous sense of unity with all sentient beings, with everything that lives and breathes, and even that which just sits there and doesn't appear to live or breathe. One just still feels one's own consciousness expanding out into all of it. So there's a certain confidence that comes in. One doesn't feel so anxious about the fate of the world because you see that this is all literally lila, divine play, that despite the ups and downs of the story, whether it's your own particular little plot or the plot of the whole planet, one can see that it's not a random occurrence. And that's not something you can argue people into believing. And it's not something you can prove by rational thought either. It just, one feels it. One looks around and realizes that the hand of God is everywhere. Now, once that thought begins to grow, however tiny its first seed, when at whatever point in our tremendous cycles of incarnation, that thought is planted. Once that seed takes root, even with the tiniest little tendril of commitment, that the deed is done, and that force becomes this absolutely relentless reality that you can never shut out again. And for many, many incarnations, we play around with half knowing this. I had a friend who had to go into a mental asylum for a while, and I said to Swamiji, you know, I know sometimes people speak romantically that crazy people are more sane than we are, which is not a belief that I think is true, but I really felt that in this case, my friend had her mental strength had cracked under the pressure of divine aspiration. And Swamiji made a very interesting comment. Oh, he said, very, you know, matter-of-factly, he said, madness is a stage on the spiritual path. He said, one reaches a point where one is standing on the edge of seeing what is going to be asked of one, and one seeks every possible alternative, including just a retreat into a dream world of one's own making. And then you just play around for a while and you think, well, will this work? Maybe this will do it. Maybe this will get me off the hook. And what we're asking to escape from is what at first appears to us to be a great loss, which is the loss of this individuality, this sort of freedom to do whatever I want to do. And it's a paradox, you see, because we have to progress spiritually to the point where we have enough willpower to self-define, to say, I choose my own values. I will not be just a mindless reflection of the world around me. I won't just be swept along by what everyone else thinks. And we develop this tremendous personal power to declare ourselves. And the result of that is that we gradually get more and more of an awareness of the true heartbeat of our own consciousness, that it really isn't coming in any way from outside ourselves, that it's just coming from some kind of a pulse within. and that ever unquenchable desire, as Master called it, to escape suffering and to experience bliss, is the tiny seed that takes hold. And at first, we act that out just the way we acted out to get to that point. And we use that divine power to become more and more of whatever we think we are. But experience is the teacher. And that's why there's no reason to be anxious about anything, about ourselves, about anyone on the planet, about any apparent suffering, about anything. Because experience is not only a good teacher, it's the only teacher. Has anybody ever tried to tell you something that you hadn't experienced and persuade you of it? Did you listen? You know. Do we ever know anything until in some way it vibrates with our own inner reality? Now, the end point of all of this is that we have to see that there's a progression here. That even just in the course of this one lifetime, we can look back and see, I used to be a lot less aware than I am now. I used to do a lot of things that I wouldn't dream of doing now. I used to behave in ways that would be unthinkable because I've had experience and I've learned. Someone asked Master the obvious question, looking at this, what appears to be an evolution of consciousness, but is not really. It's an expansion of awareness of our consciousness. Nothing ever changes. It's always infinite, and we've always been part of that infinity. But what increases is our awareness of who we actually are. So someone asked Master, is there any end to this? They called the word evolution, or this expansion of awareness. And Master said, no, you keep on expanding until you become endless. Evolution continues until it achieves endlessness. Now, it's not wholesome to compare ourselves to one another, to other people. We just, each of us, live in this extraordinary world of our own perception. Spirit, as Master said, is center everywhere. Each one of us is rightfully the center of all of creation. So we don't want to think in terms of, oh, I've made so much progress. At the same time, we must be infinitely grateful for the fact that we are aware enough to have some idea of where happiness comes from, and to have committed ourselves with as much will as we can muster. And certainly everyone has better days and worse days, better years and worse years. But nonetheless, with as much will as we can muster, we have understood by God's grace and only by God's grace where happiness is to be found and how suffering can be avoided. And everyone eventually comes to the same realization, but thank God we're sitting at that point right now. And so Swamiji, inspired by Master, has invited us to take that understanding and declare it to ourselves. Because there's great power in that kind of declaration. How many times in our lives have we come to a crossroads where we simply knew something needed to be done, some change needed to be made, something needed to be embraced, and gradually that realization comes, and finally the moment comes where we say, I know this is true. This is my marriage partner. This is my career. This is my understanding. This is my resolution. This is my belief. This is my experience. And then that becomes a whole new definition for us. And that is how we progress, isn't it? That step by step, something becomes so unmistakable. And it's not really as if we strive to achieve it. It's that we suddenly have words for what we've always been, or at least intuition for what we've always been. People often ask how ministers are ordained within our community, and our answer has always been, well, we look around to see who is one, and then we say so. Well, that's very much the path of renunciation. Because if it feels like a loss, it's not something that you should do. And that's the incredible secret of all of this. And this is what Swamiji is also asking us to declare. There's this very false understanding about spiritual life, that God somehow hates us and wants to torture us. I remember years ago, I was getting into that. I don't know what was wrong with my brain, but things happen to our brains sometimes. And I just kept becoming more and more anxious about absolutely everything. I just had created this image of God. I mean, he was not somebody I would have wanted to even have dinner with. He was awful, you know? And I just, in this little drama that I was running, I was always more and more tense about some transgression that I was making. And, you know, there's only been a few times when I've felt Swamiji trying to persuade me. Usually he merely presents it and he waits for our own clarity to embrace what he's presented. But in this case, I felt like he pleaded with me. He said, "Asha, God does not want you to be unhappy." He said, "That's your idea." Just like that. And it was so mystifying to him why, in the presence of so much bliss, I would choose to be miserable. But you know, until you experience it, you don't know. So now, all of us, in a certain sense, from one perspective, are narrowing our options. You know? We're choosing to declare ourselves committed to what might look from the outside as a lessening of choices. But you see, from the inside, it looks so different, doesn't it? Because what we're doing is we're walking through a doorway, and on the other side of that doorway is infinity. And in that infinity is Satchitananda, ever-existing, ever-conscious, ever-new bliss. None of us have achieved that completely. We know that. You know, all of us are declaring an intention rather than a fact. But, oh, what a glorious opportunity. And what a wonderful opportunity it is, you know, to in our kinship with all life, to dedicate ourselves ever more deeply to expressing, to experience, and to sharing whatever little bit of bliss we can find. You know, someone who there's a story told about a very famous violinist. I don't know what his name was, but he played, you know, like once in a generation can play. And after someone heard his concert, someone came up to him and with that kind of envy said, "Oh, I'd give my life to be able to play like that." And the violinist, without hesitating, said, "I have." Because of course you have. If we're going to do anything with that kind of mastery, of course you have to give your life to it, because life gives back to you exactly what you give to it. So here we are, and our desire is Satchitananda, because why wouldn't it be? That's everyone's desire, ever existing, ever conscious, ever new joy, and we want it deeply enough that we're giving our life to it. What good karma that is, isn't it? And you also see what a joy it is, because in our kinship with all life, when any bubble of the ocean, you know, dissolves back into the sea, then to that extent, that calmness, that awareness just begins to spread out, and everyone in the ocean is touched by it. God has called us, and through us, he calls all his children. You know, this is an initiation that David and I have had the opportunity to be ahead of you for a few weeks, you know, walking in this reality. No one can tell you, because you have to experience it. But what joy it is to live for God. I can remember from so many years ago, from one of the books Swami wrote in 1971, "This then to me," he said, "is renunciation. To kick aside limitation and embrace infinity." I've remembered that all these years. This is renunciation. All we were renouncing is limitation. You know, the limitation of being compelled by all those incarnations of habit that says, I have to have this, I have to be that, this is what I am, male, female, all these things. Kick aside all of that. We've never been anything but the infinite. And now with all heart, mind, and soul, we get to embrace that one more time. You know, life is a series of moments. And they're pearls on a string. I recall years ago when Swamiji gave a satsang for us in his house in Ananda Village. And he was in an extraordinarily exalted mood. And that mood communicated to all of us. And he sort of opened his eyes, but you could see somehow that his eyes were not focused on the same reality that we were seeing. And he looked out at the small group that was in the room, and he said, you're going to get it right sooner or later, like that. Why waste a few million years? You know, it was just such a simple thought. Sooner or later, we'll recognize the source of happiness and the cause of suffering, and we'll get it straightened out. Why wait a few million years? And that same night, he said, when all our incarnations end, and we merge into God realization. We look back at all these lifetimes, he said, and we see that it was all just waves on the ocean, that we thought it was happening, but it was just waves on the ocean. And he said, and the only thing that we'll remember is those times, in all those lifetimes, when for a moment we touched into the infinite, and we're aware of God's presence. Isn't that wonderful? We look back on our lives even now, you know, and even yesterday. It's all blurred out, isn't it? You know, but we can look back and we all remember those moments when the dream actually gave way and reality touched in. This is what we are renouncing. We renounce the dream to embrace the infinite.
Begin with the renunciation vows for the brahmacharyas. So the four who are taking the lifetime vows, please come forward now.
Move the bench.
And Rick, can you bring Chinambar that bench over? Thank you. So you can come and kneel before us.
You can just sit on the... Can you sit comfortably, Cheryl? Yeah, just sit on the floor. Are you comfortable? Do you need a chair?
So you'll want to repeat these vows after me. I understand and fully accept.
I understand and fully accept.
That the true purpose of life for all human beings.
That the true purpose of life for all human beings.
Is to seek God.
Is to seek God.
In pursuit of that goal.
In pursuit of that goal.
I offer my own life unreservedly.
I offer my own life unreservedly.
To seeking my divine source.
To seeking my divine source.
I will retain no ego-gratifying goal in my life.
I will retain no ego-gratifying goal in my life.
But will strive always.
But will strive always.
And above all.
And above all.
To please God.
To please God.
I will look upon life as God's dream drama.
I will look upon life as God's dream drama.
And also dream entertainment.
And also dream entertainment.
I will accept as His gift.
I will accept as His gift.
Whatever comes to me in life.
Whatever comes to me.
I renounce attachments to things.
I renounce attachments to things.
People.
People.
Places.
Places.
And all self-definitions except one.
And all self-definitions except one.
I will define myself always.
I will define myself
as a child of God.
As a child of God.
And will obey whatever guidance He gives me.
And will obey whatever guidance He gives me.
I offer to Thee, Lord.
I offer to Thee, Lord.
My life.
My life.
My desires.
My desires.
My attachments.
My attachments.
And the fruit of all my labors.
And the fruit of all my labors.
Bless me and strengthen me.
Bless me and strengthen me.
That I become ever more perfect.
That I become ever more perfect.
In this my holy vow.
In this my holy vow.
Now you want to come one by one in front of Asha and me, and we will bless you as you become brahmacharis.
And with your new name, Brahmacharini Ananda Prem.
This will be a postulate vow of the for Brahmacharini, and it's a one-year vow that you're taking. So repeat these words after me. I understand and fully accept.
I understand and fully accept
that the true purpose of life for all human beings.
The true purpose of life for all human beings
is to seek God. In pursuit of that goal,
in pursuit of that goal,
I offer my own life unreservedly.
I offer my own life unreservedly
to seeking my divine source.
To seeking my divine source.
I retain no ego gratifying goal in my life.
I retain no ego gratifying goal in my life.
But will strive always.
Will strive always.
And above all,
to please God.
I will look upon life as God's dream drama.
I will look upon life as God's dream drama.
And also dream entertainment.
And also dream entertainment.
I will accept as His gift.
I will accept as His gift.
Whatever comes to me in life.
Whatever comes to me in life.
I renounce attachments. I renounce attachment to things.
I renounce attachment to things.
People.
People.
Places.
Places.
And all self-definitions except one.
And all self-definitions except one.
I will define myself always.
I will define myself always.
As a child of God.
As a child of God.
And will obey whatever guidance He gives me. I offer to Thee, Lord.
I offer to Thee, Lord.
My life.
My life.
My desires.
My desires.
My attachments.
My attachments.
And the fruit of all my labors.
And the fruit of all my labors.
Bless me and strengthen me.
Bless me and strengthen me.
That I become ever more perfect.
That I become ever more perfect.
In this my holy vow.
Because this is a postulant vow, we offer you a white scarf. Bless you as postulant cherry.
For the renunciate vow of Tyagas, I understand and fully accept.
I understand and fully accept.
That the true purpose of life for all human beings.
That the true purpose of life for all human beings.
Is to seek God.
Is to seek God.
In pursuit of that goal.
Pursuit of that goal.
I offer my own life unreservedly.
I offer my own life unreservedly.
To seeking my own divine source.
To seeking my own divine source.
I will retain no ego gratifying goal in my life.
I will retain no ego gratifying goal in my life.
But will strive always.
But will strive always.
And above all.
And above all.
To please God.
God.
I will view my partner.
I will view my partner
as a channel of God's blessing.
As a channel of God's blessing.
Guidance and strength.
Guidance and strength.
And will strive always.
And will strive always.
To be a similar channel in return.
To be a similar channel in return.
I will endeavor always.
Through the love and respect I feel for my partner.
Through the love and respect I feel for to reach out in love,
and service
to all humanity. I will try never to see anything in this world as mine. But will view everything as a manifestation of God. I will look upon life as God's dream drama, and also dream entertainment. I will accept as His gift whatever comes to me in life. I offer to Thee, Lord, my life, my desires, my attachments, and the fruit of all my labors. Bless me and strengthen me, that I become ever more perfect in this my holy vow. Oh, no reason to be shy about getting a blessing just because you're only going to do it once in your lifetime.
We bless you with the same name, but the new understanding of it. Jagini Rita. Now you are Jagi Stephen, soon to be Jagi St. Stephen.
And we have one postulate, Tyagi. Karen. He's taking these vows for 1 year. I understand and fully accept that the true purpose of life for all human beings is to seek God. In pursuit of that goal, I offer my own life unreservedly to seeking my own divine source. I will retain no ego-gratifying goal in my life, but will strive always and above all to please God. I will view my partner as a channel of God's blessing, guidance, and strength, and will strive always to be a similar channel in return. I will endeavor always, through the love and respect I feel for my partner, to reach out in love and service to all humanity. I will try never to see anything in this world as mine, but will view everything as a manifestation of God. I will look upon life as God's dream drama and also dream entertainment. I will accept as His gift whatever comes to me in life. I offer to Thee, Lord, my life, my desires, my attachments, and the fruit of all my labors. Bless me and strengthen me, that I become ever more perfect in this my holy vow. Those who are taking the vow of complete renunciation, who will become Naya Swamis in this new order, please sit around the fire in front of one of the bowls of ghee. You'll be repeating this vow after me, and at certain points I'll ask you to put ghee into the fire, which represents the purification of the heart, of your heart. So repeating after me, for now on, I embrace as the only purpose of life the search for God. Now you can add some ghee into the fire.
You'll have to do this several times, so you don't have to get it all in there the first time. Okay.
I will never take a partner. Or if I am married, I will look upon my partner as belonging only to Thee, Lord. In any case, I am complete in myself. And in myself will merge all the opposites of duality. Now add more ghee into the fire. I no longer exist as a separate entity, but offer my life unreservedly into Thy ocean of awareness. And add more ghee into the fire. I accept nothing as mine, no one as mine, no talent, no success, no achievement as my own, but everything as Thine alone. Add more ghee now. I will feel that not only the fruit of my labor, but the labor itself is only Thine. Act through me always, Lord, to accomplish Thy design. Now add more ghee in. I am free in Thy joy. I will rejoice forever in Thy blissful presence. Now add more ghee. Help me in my efforts to achieve perfection in this my holy vow. For I have no goal in life but to know Thee and to serve as Thy channel of blessing to all mankind. Now add more ghee into the fire. You can place your ghee down on the ground. And to reinforce your vow and your dedication to this lifestyle, we ask you to prostrate completely on the floor before the fire.
Stretch out completely.
Come before Asha and me for your blessing.
We bless you as Naya Swami Chidambar. Swami Chidambar. We bless you as Naya Swami Arati. Swami Arati. We bless you as Naya Swami Tushti. Swami Tushti. We bless you as Naya Swami Surendra. We bless you as Naya Swami Nishkama.
By the fire taken. Let's just meditate together for a few minutes. Finish out our meditation period.
Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God,
Friend,
Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar. Beloved Master.
Paramhansa Yogananda.
Saints of all religions. Humbly we bow to you all. May thy love shine forever.
On the sanctuary of our devotion.
And may we be able.
And may we be able.
To awaken thy love.
To awaken thy love.
In all hearts.
In all hearts.
Om. Peace.
Peace.
Amen.